Good afternoon from the KWAT Newsroom. I'm Mike Tanner. The cause of last month's fire that destroyed the building that housed Malchow's Home Furnishings on Aberdeen's Main Street has been determined. Here's Aberdeen Fire Chief Randy Meister.
It started with a homemade vanity light that somehow tipped over, and one of the bulbs burnt through the carpet padding and into the hardwood floor and got in the void space of the building.
Meister says a light of that type starting a fire is extremely uncommon.
Very uncommon. With having a 24-inch void space throughout the run of the building and being an older building with the pipe chases, obviously that fire was burning a long time before it ever exposed itself out the north window.
Meister says a person in the building originally noticed an odor but dismissed it as being burnt food.
An individual that smelt a burning smell at approximately 3 o'clock and just thought it was somebody that burnt food. And then obviously we got called at 6:20.
The fire was eventually reported when smoke alarms went off. There were no injuries in that fire. Meister says the situation could have been much worse because there were people working inside the building while that fire was in progress.
And obviously the fire was burning while the store was still open. The store closed at approximately 4:30 in the afternoon, and there's no doubt there was fire above their heads while they were working.
The gutted-out building will be demolished. Malchow's had been in business at that same location since 1945. A 9-member interim legislative committee last week approved the framework of a compromise in an electric service territory dispute. It requires regular meetings and good faith negotiations between rural electric cooperatives and municipal electric systems in South Dakota when they're in disagreement over who should be allowed to serve customers in newly annexed areas of a city. The committee decided that if the utilities cannot negotiate an agreement, the Public Utilities Commission would settle the dispute. Chris Nelson is a member on the 3-member Public Utilities Commission.
Well, this is certainly something different than what the PUC normally deals with, but as I told the committee last week, you know, the Public Utility Commission is here to serve the people of South Dakota, and if the legislature determines that we are the body to resolve these kinds of disputes, you know, we are certainly willing to take on that task.
Nelson says there is still some uncertainty with all of this.
The language of the bill that was presented last week did not contain really the questions that the PUC would be asked to resolve, how far our authority would go in doing that, nor did it lay out what the criteria would be that we would consider in making our decision, and that any bill, if it is to pass, certainly needs to lay out both of those things.
Nelson says the PUC does not want to pick sides in this electric service territory debate.
You know, as the Public Utilities Commission is not taking a position as to whether or not legislation ought to pass or not. We think that's still squarely in the legislative realm. What we are simply saying is that if the legislature chooses to pass legislation, it needs to be something that the PUC that can work with our process.
Having said that, Nelson says he can see both sides of the argument.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, I've followed this from kind of the beginning, and both sides have made very, very, I think, articulate arguments as for their positions. And it's been interesting for me to watch as they've made those arguments. And, you know, one of the things that both sides have stressed is that, you know, they have a history of providing excellent electric service to their customers. And frankly, that's the one thing that's maybe not being talked about enough is the fact that whether you're a municipal electric or a rural electric co-op, you've got a great history of serving the people of South Dakota very, very well.
The concept approved by the interim committee will now be passed up to the legislature's executive board. Look for more debate on this issue to come up during the upcoming legislative session. Well, Northern Plains senators weighed in with the Environmental Protection Agency by filing comments on their renewable fuel standard proposal. They called for EPA Chief Andrew Wheeler to honor President Trump's commitment on making the 15-billion-gallon RFS standard. South Dakota Senator Mike Rounds also met with President Trump, asking him to follow through on that commitment. South Dakota Corn Growers President Doug Noem says that is encouraging.
We always encourage those guys to take our message to the Hill and to the White House and tell them where we need to be and what we need to have happen. And hopefully Senator Rounds is conveying that, and it sounds like he is, to the president. And so hopefully that catches his ear and moves this thing forward where we want it.
Noem says what's needed now is for everyone to contact their lawmakers and the administration and make their views known on the importance of the renewable fuels standard and making sure lost biofuel volumes are accounted for. Sioux Falls police today were conducting a search for the remains of a woman who's been missing for 45 years. Ella Beth Lodermeyer was 25 when she disappeared from her Sioux Falls home in March of 1974. A Sioux Falls police spokesman says at least one dog was brought in today to search along the Big Sioux River. The search took place in an area where Lodermeyer's purse and pocketbook were found in 1992. The Standing Rock Sioux Tribe and other opponents today were arguing their case against a proposed expansion of the Dakota Access Pipeline. Texas-based Energy Transfer wants to double the capacity of the line to as much as 1.1 million barrels daily to meet growing demand for oil shipments from North Dakota. Opponents have long argued that a leak in the pipeline would threaten the tribe's Missouri River water supply. A hearing on that proposed expansion was being held today in Linton, North Dakota. An agreement between Sanford Health and the federal government requires the healthcare system to hire an outside auditor to monitor its billing. The agreement with the Inspector General for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services allows Sanford to continue to participate in Medicare and other federal programs. It comes as Sanford settles a whistleblower complaint, a whistleblower lawsuit, that is, in which it agreed to pay more than $20 million in penalties after it was accused of allowing Dr. Wilson Asfora, a neurosurgeon, to defraud the federal government out of millions of dollars. The lawsuit by two of Asfora's colleagues alleged that Sanford allowed the neurosurgeon to use his company's medical devices in surgeries. And this year's featured tree in the Christmas at the Capitol display will not have to be hauled very far to get to the South Dakota State Capitol building. Bureau of Administration Special Projects Coordinator Leah Swenson says that tree is in Pierre.
We won't have to have it transported very far, just about 6 blocks from the homeowners to the Capitol. It's, again, a blue spruce. Right now it's about 35 feet tall, so we'll be cutting that down to around 25 feet tall so it fits in the Capitol. It will be decorated this year by the South Dakota Realtors in honor of their 75th anniversary of when they were chartered in South Dakota. And so along with the Realtors who sell homes, we've chosen a theme this year called Hometown Christmas.
She says decorating begins this week with the grand lighting ceremony to be held the week of Thanksgiving.
We have the grand lighting ceremony the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, so that this year is Tuesday, November 26th. And then we'll have greeters staffing, and the doors open from 8 a.m. till 10 p.m. November 27th through December 27th is when they come down. So the last day to view is the day after Christmas, December 26th.
The Christmas Capitol display includes over 90 trees decorated by volunteers from communities, schools, churches, nonprofits, and state government offices. That's what's happening today from the KWAT Newsroom. I'm Mike Tanner.